for bribery. At her sentencing, she blamed her husband, the former chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, calling him a manipulative liar. I'm Dan Ronan, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Chapter, offering Medicare advice to seniors nationwide and working to find the plans that best fit their needs. Advisors are available by dialing #250 and saying the keyword Medicare Help.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Audio Readers Audio Sale, a benefit sale of vinyl records, audio equipment, and more at the Lawrence Public Library, Saturday, September 13th. More information online at reader.ku.edu/audio sale.
It's 88 degrees in Lawrence, 85 in Manhattan. It is 6:06. From the University of Kansas, it's Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Solar, reminding listeners that tax credits for installing solar and battery systems on homes are set to expire soon. More information at cromwellsolar.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in to KPR this evening. We have news headlines coming your way in just about another 12 minutes. Still to come, Ryan Ruth is charged with attempting to assassinate a presidential candidate. A conviction would carry a maximum penalty of life in prison. Ruth is representing himself. He's not a lawyer. We'll find out how that is going. We'll learn more about the Bolsonaro verdict down in Brazil. And more on the fallout from an immigration raid at a Hyundai plant in Georgia, all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas City Monarchs, presenting the return of the KC Blues and Jazz Festival, October 3rd and 4th at Legends Field, featuring Stanley Clark and more. Event details at monarchsbaseball.com.
As far as the weather goes, going to be a warm weekend. Lows in the upper 60s tonight, highs in the lower 90s tomorrow. Humid tomorrow night with a low in the 70s, highs in the lower 90s for Saturday. We do have a chance of rain Sunday afternoon with highs in the upper 80s, highs around 90 again for Monday, around 90 again for Tuesday. So that more seasonal feel, really. We generally have kind of warm Septembers. It's been pleasantly cool, but you know, we'll keep our eye on it, see what happens. It is 6:20. This is KPR. Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. The latest national, international, and regional news, lots of analysis. Your local host will be Matthew Algio.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com. Or at 785-843-TREE.
News headlines coming up next at 6:30.
Visas, but the attorney disputes that. The president of South Korea has said the raid will cause Korean companies to hesitate before investing in the U.S. For NPR News, I'm Emily Wu Pearson in Atlanta.
Stocks finished higher across the board on Wall Street today. This is NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. The rate of Kansas children without health insurance has now climbed to its highest level in more than a decade. That's according to new data released by the U.S. Census Bureau. Jay Schaefer reports.
Historically, the uninsured rates for Kansas children have been close to the national average, but that gap widened in 2024. The share of uninsured children in Kansas rose to 7% last year. That's the highest rate in 11 years. For the fourth consecutive year, the overall uninsured rate in Kansas was higher than the national average. Here's what this means. Children in Kansas are more likely to be uninsured than children in other parts of the country. All low-income children are affected, but Hispanic, Black, and Native American children are more likely to be uninsured than white children. I'm Jay Schaefer.
The USDA has extended a comment period on a controversial plan to shake up the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The Trump administration wants to reorganize the USDA, closing buildings in Washington and sending more than half the agency's jobs to five cities across the country. Kansas farmer John Thamert likes the idea of getting USDA staff closer to farmers and sharing the wealth.
Washington, D.C. has got some really high-paying jobs and a lot of wealth concentrated there. I like to see Kansas City have some of these jobs, as well as Raleigh and Indianapolis and Fort Collins and Salt Lake, and kind of spread that out a little bit.
Opponents say the plan is vague in that it was hatched without input from legislators or farmers. They say it would trigger a new flood of resignations at USDA, which has already lost nearly 20% of its workforce so far this year. And the Kansas Museum of History in Topeka is preparing to reopen later this year after a years-long renovation process. The renovation of the museum includes updating records and pictures and remodeling the lobby. The museum will now be set up thematically instead of chronologically. KSNT reports that visitors will be able to explore four different galleries, all explaining the history of Kansas. Repeated delays pushed the timeline back, but the museum is now expected to reopen to the public on November 22nd. This is KPR, and it's 6:35.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
This week on the Retro Cocktail Hour, we'll hear the Steve and Edie of jazz, Frank Sinatra's favorite drummer, and a mambo band from Belgium. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Join me where the music's shaken, not stirred. The Retro Cocktail Hour, Saturday, 7 p.m. on KPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, many other frequencies all around the state, and streaming worldwide at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Arts Center and the Downtown Underground Concert Series, presenting Welcome to the Machine, a Pink Floyd 50th anniversary, September 12th through 14th. Information and tickets at lawrenceartscenter.org.
Thanks for tuning in this evening. We still have about 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. If you're listening on KPR One stations, at 7 o'clock we have Classics Live, followed by an hour of classical music with Destiny. It is Tango Thursday. Then it's Jazz from the Vinyl Vault. Lots of great music coming your way tonight on KPR One stations. If you're joining us on KPR Two, we have KPR Presents, followed at 8 o'clock by The Middle with Jeremy Hobson.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Lows in the upper 60s tonight, sunshine tomorrow with a high in the lower 90s. It is 87 degrees in Lawrence at 10 minutes before 7.
With the Trump administration proposing steep cuts for 2026. Nell Greenfield Boyce, NPR News.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Fisher Investments. As a fiduciary, Fisher Investments is obligated to act in their clients' best interest. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. From Avalara, providing businesses with cloud-based tools and managed services for property tax compliance. From filing returns to tracking assessments, learn more at avalara.com/property tax. From Progressive Insurance, with its Name Your Price tool, a way to see coverage options based on a driver's budget. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Price and coverage match limited by state law. and from listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
What do the life and death of Charlie Kirk say about political speech, political violence, and the state of this country? On the next morning edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. We'll have the latest national, international, and regional news to start off your day. You're listening to KPR. Thanks so much for tuning in this evening. Up next, we have Classics Live, followed by an hour of classical music with Destiny. It is Tango Thursday, followed by jazz from the Vinyl Vault, all coming up here on KPR. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. You can listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org. You can also tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
Mostly clear skies tonight for northeast and east central Kansas with a low in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, sunny with a high in the lower 90s.
Support for KPR comes from City Wine Market, specializing in wines for every palate and striving to help find customers' next bottle of wine since 2010. More information at citywinemarket.com.
Stay tuned. Classics Live is next.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, and we're in Yardley Hall of the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts at Johnson County Community College with a Rule Joyce recital of what's called Four-Hand Piano, or Two Pianists at One Piano, starring two piano teachers at local colleges who each have their own lively concert career as well. Welcome duo pianists Nicholas Dold and Slavomir Dobshansky. They begin with a Schubert Rondo in D major, and for this concert, Nicholas and Slavomir trade primo spots here on the 9-foot Steinway. Thank you.
That was the Schubert Rondo in D, with the Nicholas Dold, Slavomir Dubshansky duo. Now Slavomir takes the solo stage for Romance of the Manzur Prince Alexander Galitzin by Maria Szymanowska. That was a gem from Maria Szymanowska, played by Slavomir Dubshansky, called The Romance of Prince Alexander Galitzin. Next, Nicholas Dold comes back to join Slavomir for The Petite Suite by Claude Debussy.
Thank you.
With duo pianists Nicholas Dold, primo, and Slavomir Dobshansky, secondo, playing Debussy's Petite Suite. Now it's just Nicholas on stage for Mad Resh. It's by Philip Glass. Thank you. with pianist Nicholas Dold playing Mad Rush by Philip Glass. Now for their concluding concert piece by Moritz Moskowski. Slavomir Dobshansky comes back to join Nicholas for 5 Spanish dances, piano, 4 hands.
Thank you.
two fine pianists, Slavomir Dobshansky, who teaches piano at K-State, and Nicholas Dold, who teaches at William Jewell. In addition, each has an active chamber music and concert piano schedule, both local and around the world. We've just heard the two men play five Spanish dances, the Opus 12, of Moritz Moszkowski. Rounding off this Rule Joyce recital here at Johnson County Community College, JOCO hosts these free noontime concerts, often on Mondays, usually when school is in session. Recording the concert for Kansas Public Radio's Classics Live was KPR engineer Chabias Ascension Smith. I'm Cordelia Brown. We hope you like the concert, and we hope you check out the Classics Live page at kansaspublicradio.org to see what's coming up in our series of local, excellent classical music offerings. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. Thank you. from the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival. That was a sonatine by Joseph Laubert. This has been Classics Live on KPR, Kansas Public Radio. Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from the KU School of Music, presenting a collection of concerts featuring jazz, orchestral, and other music throughout their current season. More information and full concert schedule available at music.ku.edu. We're live and local. We're KPR from KU, KANU, and KANU, HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH, KANH, HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV, and KANV, HD1, Olsburg Junction City, 91.3, and KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play KPR, or you can download our app that's very easy to use as well, KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dan Ronan. The assassination of conservative political activist Charlie Kirk Wednesday at a college in Utah continues to reverberate around the country. NPR's Domenico Montero notes it's the latest in a series of politically motivated violent attacks in recent months.
The attacks have crossed the political spectrum, a firebombing of a Democratic governor's residence, the killing of a Democratic lawmaker and her husband, fires set to Tesla charging stations, and of course, two assassination attempts on President Trump during last year's presidential campaign. Despite the often knee-jerk reactions and blaming of the other side in the immediate aftermath of these events, the truth is often more nuanced. In this case, the shooter is still on the loose and the motivation is not yet known, and Americans have been growing more and more concerned with the potential for violence. 73% in a recent NPR PBS News Marist poll, for example, described politically motivated violence as a major problem. Domenico Montanaro, NPR News, Washington.
Brazil's Supreme Court has sentenced Jair Bolsonaro to 27 years and 3 months in prison. This for a coup attempt after losing his 2022 re-election bid. He is the first former president in Brazilian history to be punished for trying to overthrow the government. Julie Cananero has more from Rio.
This lengthy prison term for Jair Bolsonaro follows a momentous trial that has gripped Brazil. The divisive far-right leader was convicted on all five charges, including attempting a coup, violently abolishing the rule of law, and leading a criminal organization. Votes to convict were 4-1 in the panel made up of five Supreme Court justices. The seven other defendants were also found guilty. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the court had unjustly ruled to imprison Bolsonaro, and the United States would, quote, respond accordingly to this witch hunt. For NPR News, I'm Julia Carneiro in Rio de Janeiro.
The federal government collected $30 billion in tariff revenue last month. NPR's Scott Horsley reports it's a nearly fourfold increase from this time last year.
President Trump has imposed double-digit tariffs on nearly everything the U.S. imports, and that money is now flowing into the U.S. Treasury. A monthly report from the Treasury Department says tariff revenue reached $30 billion last month, up from $8 billion in August of 2024. Tariffs accounted for nearly 9% of all federal revenue last month, but they haven't done much to improve the government's financial health. With a month ago in the fiscal year, the federal government's running a deficit of nearly $2 trillion, and it's had to pay out more than $1 trillion just to cover the interest on the growing federal debt. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
The trial of Ryan Ruth is underway in Fort Pierce, Florida. He's the man charged by federal authorities trying to assassinate President Trump last September. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Pew Charitable Trusts, sharing about the state of housing in America on the After the Fact podcast, available at pewtrusts.org/afterthefact. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate September 11th. Guillaume Le Gentil spent more than 11 years away from his native France just to witness two brief astronomical events. Along the way, he had to survive war, a hurricane, disease, and grumpy officials. When he got home, he'd lost his job and been declared dead. But the real hardship? He missed both events. Lejeune was born 300 years ago this week. He studied theology, but decided on astronomy as a career. He became a member of the Royal Academy of Science at age 28. Lejeune and other astronomers hoped to measure a 1761 transit of Venus across the Sun from many locations on Earth. The details would reveal the Sun's distance, the basic yardstick for the entire solar system. Lejeune planned to watch from India. He headed out in March of 1760. War with England complicated the trip, and his ship was blown off course. On the day of the transit, he was still at sea, where it was impossible to make observations. The next transit was just 8 years away, so Lejeune decided to hang around. He planned to watch from the Philippines, but he got a chilly reception, so he returned to India. He set up an observatory and waited, but the day of the transit was cloudy until shortly after it was over. Heartbroken, Lejeune headed home. It took 2 hard years to get there, only to encounter even more problems. But he worked things out and published 2 volumes about his travels in the name of science. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Enrique Granados, Danzas Españolas number 10, Danza Triste, here on Kansas Public Radio. Hello there. I am Destiny, and I know this is a tough day for some of you, September 11th, and while I have some music that hopefully will help not only soothe your soul, but inspire you that there still actually is good left in the world, and I think we can do that with Beethoven's Ode to Joy at about 8:20. I think that'll be a really nice uplifter after we listen to something that is often used to commemorate the victims of 9/11 and was actually performed days following the attacks by Leonard Slatkin at Carnegie Hall, Barber's Adagio for Strings. This music is, it's pretty heavy. And it'll get you, but it is absolutely gorgeous. So, in memory of all those that we love and have lost, let's listen to this music right now. I think music is really what can soothe us all and bring us together. Sir Neville Mariner and Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, Barber's Adagio for Strings on Kansas Public Radio. Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings here on Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City. That recording featured Sir Neville Mariner and Academy of St. Martin in the Fields in honor of 9/11 and all of those we lost in love. Music can be a great source of comfort and support, and you, our dear listeners, are such great supporters too. And in fact, I have a special shout out this evening. Support for our music programming on KPR comes from Kimberly Kreiker and Arla Jones, encouraging all who enjoy KPR to support the programming they rely on. Thanks, Kim and Arla. We really appreciate you and your generosity and for thinking of KPR on your anniversary. And if you would like to join the fun in supporting Kim and Arla and keeping this beautiful music that you rely on the airwaves, you can do so at kansaspublicradio.org. I know we've had a few membership drives where we ask for help, and you might think, I'm just one person. Does it really matter? Well, yes, it does. Every single person matters, and your support combined with all of our KPR members makes amazing things happen. Like I said, join today at kansaspublicradio.org, and thank you. All right. Beethoven Symphony 9. It is quite a long one, so we are going to listen to the second part, which has, of course, in it my favorite, Ode to Joy. I hope you all find this uplifting. It's with Kurt Mazur and the Gewandhaus Orchestra and chorus on Kansas Public Radio.
Wurf gelungen, reines Freude.
Beethoven Symphony No. 9. What else can I say here on KPR? Have a great night and weekend, everyone. And don't forget to join me, Classics by Request, Saturday, 1 to 4. See you soon.
Listener Kevin Curio says, and this is a quote, "Every morning I start my day with a cup of coffee and Morning Edition." That's how I start my day. If I don't have both of those things, he says, I'll be off for the rest of the day. Start your day right with NPR's Morning Edition. Listen, along with Kevin, every weekday.
Morning Edition is here for you on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. weekdays. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Midwest Trust Center, presenting new dance partners with Casey Ballet, Owen Cox Dance Group, Starling Dance Theater, and Regina Klinyoski Dance Company, September 19th and 20th. More at jccc.edu/mtc. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, where KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. And support for classical music on KPR comes from Love Garden Sounds, a vinyl record and CD store sponsoring the Vinyl Vault Hour on Jazz in the Night coming up. Store details and buying policies at lovegardensounds.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dan Ronan. At this hour in Utah, officials are releasing new video in connection with the assassination of conservative political activist Charlie Kirk at a university in Utah on Wednesday. His body was returned to Phoenix, where he lived today above Air Force Two. Kirk's murder is leading to an outpouring of grief online. NPR's Jeff Bronfield reports.
Throughout the conservative movement, commentators and influencers are mourning Kirk's death, like conservative podcaster Benny Johnson.
Charlie Kirk is an American martyr. He is a Christian martyr. He died for his faith and his country.
Many also angrily blame Democrats and the political left for his death, even as the shooter's identity and motive remain unknown. Nicole Hemmer is a historian at Vanderbilt University. She says more may be to come following Kirk's assassination.
I think it expands people's capacity for imagining violent revenge.
American politics has entered what she calls a violent season. Jeff Brumfield, NPR News.
Hundreds of people arrested at an immigration raid at a Hyundai factory in Georgia are en route from Atlanta to South Korea. From member station WABE in Atlanta, Emily Wu Pearson reports.
The flight left a day later than anticipated. South Korean officials say the U.S. offered to let the people arrested, mostly South Korean citizens, stay and finish work at the electric vehicle battery plant in southeast Georgia. Only one South Korean stayed. They have family in the U.S. Last week, the Department of Homeland Security visited the facility with an arrest warrant for four people, but arrested 475. That's according to an attorney representing more than a dozen of those arrested. DHS claimed the workers were here on the wrong visa or overstayed their visas, but the attorney disputes that. The president of South Korea has said the raid will cause Korean companies to hesitate before investing in the U.S. For NPR News, I'm Emily Wu Pearson in Atlanta.
The Federal Trade Commission has launched an inquiry to gauge how artificial intelligence chatbots are affecting children. As NPR's John Ruwitz reports, this comes amid concern about the effects of the interactive and popular technology.
The FTC says it's ordering several companies to provide information about how they measure, test, and monitor potentially negative impacts of AI technology on children and teens. The companies include some of the biggest in the arena, like Facebook owner Meta, Google parent Alphabet, and OpenAI, which operates ChatGPT. Chatbots have been in the spotlight after reports surfaced of young people who died by suicide following discussions with them. Last month, the parents of a 16-year-old California boy sued OpenAI, claiming that ChatGPT had coached him on how to end his life. The FTC is asking for a wide range of information, including how AI characters are developed, how the companies make money from user engagement, and how they deal with personal information obtained from users through chats. John Ruwitz, NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR. The Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. has fired another high-profile administrative leader in its ongoing shakeup. NPR's Anastasia Tis-Oldkeys has more.
Kevin Struthers had been an arts administrator at the Kennedy Center for 30 years. He ran the center's jazz programming and was in charge of other special concerts. He confirmed to NPR that he has been terminated. Struthers is the latest in a long line of staff dismissals and resignations at the famed D.C. Arts Institution since President Trump became its chair in February and appointed Richard Grinnell its new president. Previously, the Kennedy Center had been celebrated for inviting a vibrant roster of established and emerging jazz artists. The only main stage jazz performance still on the Kennedy Center's schedule is an October performance by the Glenn Miller Orchestra, a group which began recording in 1939. Anastasia Tsiolkas, NPR News, New York.
The United Kingdom's Foreign Office has fired its ambassador to the United States, Peter Mandelson, over his alleged ties to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The British newspaper The Sun published private emails that Mandelson exchanged with Epstein in 2008, encouraging Epstein to continue the legal fight to stay out of prison after he was indicted by a grand jury on sex-related charges. In an interview Wednesday before he was fired, Mandelson called Epstein a charismatic liar and said he regrets that he fell for his lies. Just 24 hours before being fired, he was given a vote of confidence. I'm Dan Ronan, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at WTGrantFoundation.org. And listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
pianist Emmett Cohen, and My Heart Stood Still, with Kyle Poole, the drummer, Russell Hall on bass, the 2021 LP from Mack Avenue Records called Future Stride LP. Indeed, it is Thursday night, the 9 o'clock hour, for our weekly Jazz Vinyl Hour here on KPR. We've got a terrific live album recorded by trumpeter Woody Shaw in 1962 in New York City. We've got the Texas tenor saxophonist Buddy Tate in a bassy-like tune. And up next, KC native valve trombonist Bob Brookmeyer from 1960. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from the Lawrence Music Alliance's Mixmaster Music Conference, September 19th and 20th at Lawrence Public Library. Music industry workshops, panels, discussions, and networking for artists. Tickets at Mixmaster2025.com. Here's Bob Brookmeyer's tune called Green Stamps. And to understand that tune, you got to be of a certain rather advanced age to remember when certain grocery stores gave out green stamps, which are pasted into books, and then you filled the books off and you sent them off to get prizes of various sorts. Anyway, Green Stamps, Bob Brookmeyer, 1960, here on KPR. Thank you. the music of slide trombonist Bob Brickmeyer, who wrote that tune, called it Green Stamps, from a 1960 LP from Mercury Records called Jazz is a Kick. Bob joined by slide trombonist Curtis Fuller with Wynton Kelly at the piano, Paul Chambers bass, Paul Motion drums. Originally came out in 1960 on Mercury Records. I have in my hand a reissue that came out on a budget reissue series called Trip Records and sometime in the mid to late 70s. But Trip put a lot of good stuff out, including that one called Jazz is a Kick. Speaking of Bob Brookmeyer, there's a tribute to Bob Brookmeyer at the Blue Room in Kansas City, Sunday afternoon, 2 to 3:15. Admission is free. Carolyn Brewer will be speaking about Bob's life in Kansas City, and a terrific six-piece band will play a lot of his music and a special piece by Tom Brewer called For Bob Brookmeyer. That is September 14th, 2 to 3:15 p.m., Blue Room in Kansas City, that tribute to Bob Brookmeyer. Support for music programming on KPR comes from Kimberly Kreiker and Arla Jones, encouraging all who enjoy KPR to support the programming they rely on. Thank you, Kim and Arla, for your generosity and for thinking of KPR on your anniversary. Here's Carpenter Woody Shaw, 1982 album aptly titled Master of the Art, and Woody's piece 400 Years Ago, Tomorrow.